At the Escondido United Reformed Church, we are committed to making known the glories of the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do invite you to join us on Sundays for worship. Our worship service times are 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. You are welcome to visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. The address for worship is 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught.
Adorning Christ and His Gospel. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Half of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing, you may have life in His name. That's what we're studying today on Abounding Grace Radio. We're looking at John chapter 5 and this great theme of life in John's gospel. We want to invite you to go to our website at agradio.org. The web address is agradio.org. Thank you in advance for all of your support. We're thankful to all of our listeners, and we really do desire to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to you, to make known the riches of His glory, to understand His word more so that listeners would be equipped to know the Lord Jesus Christ and thoroughly equipped in life for every good work. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Life, John chapter 5. John's gospel is a wonderful gospel. John is emphasizing throughout this gospel what Jesus has come to do, that Jesus is full of grace and truth, and that from Him we have received grace for grace. John has been laboring throughout to show us in this gospel what grace looks like in people's lives. And there really is only one word that summarizes, I think, in these first chapters of John, what Jesus is doing in people's lives. It is the word life. Jesus is bringing life. We have seen contrasted a false kind of belief that is only interested in the signs that Jesus does. Oh, how prevalent that is today. But in the midst of so much opposition and so much confusion with regard to who He is, you see other people genuinely believing. I'm thinking of Nicodemus. I'm thinking of the woman at the well, the man with the sick son, the man at the pool of Bethesda. All of it demonstrates Jesus's power to give life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And this is really powerful to look at today, how Jesus directly taught about His ability and His power to give life. But there's a great tragedy that is set before us. So many in John's gospel are not satisfied. They're not filled. Many are not considering, many are not hearing, many are rejecting the one who has the ability to give them life. And this is what the theme is before us today on Abounding Grace. How true is it? So many people in this world and so few are filled with the life that Jesus has to offer. That's what I want to consider today, and I hope this is a blessing to all of us. I want you to think about the scene here for a moment in John chapter 5. It will help us to understand this. The Jews wanted to kill Jesus, not only because He broke their Sabbath, but because He provokingly made Himself equal to God. He had said, "The Father has been working until now, and I have been working." He said, "What I see the Father do, I do." So remember, the Jews knew the Old Testament. No man could see God and live, and Jesus is standing in front of them saying, "I see Him. I see what He does. I know what He thinks. Whatever I see Him do, I do the very same things." And they are furious that Jesus would say these things. In verse 21, He then is warning that if you do not honor the Son, you do not honor the Father. Jesus, in no uncertain terms, has just made Himself equal with God. And now he picks up again on this life theme to describe the necessity of it, since judgment has also been committed to him. Listen to John 5, verse 24. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life." Wonderful verse. I want to break it down practically and then apply it. What he is describing here is what happens when someone is initially given eternal life by Jesus Christ. In other words, here is what happens when spiritual life is placed into the soul of man. So this is the beginning. This is how it all starts for someone. This is where the moment is that ushers forth the beginnings of spiritual life in someone so that they are made alive from the dead. The verbs here for hearing and believing are present active participles. What that means is these are ongoing things that is happening in the life of the follower of Jesus. Now, what Christ is saying here is this. Now, this is so important today, dear listener. I hope you capture this. I hope I'm clear. Whoever has the ability to hear the word and believe in Jesus Christ, that is the evidence that life has already been implanted in his heart. Now, think about what Jesus says here. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." So notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, "If you believe and hear, then you will have life." That's not what he said. He said this: those who right now have the ability to hear the word and believe already have life. They're in possession of life. They passed from death into life. Now, this is so important today. What happened? What was the mark, you might say, I might ask, of not having life? Well, when Christ approached all these people, what has he found? Open reception? Oh, no. He found nothing but opposition. "Nicodemus, you must be born again." Well, how do I go back and get in a womb to get born again? He can't understand, can he? He can't hear. Remember what Jesus just said. He who hears my word and believes. Hearing means you have the ability to grasp the word. Jesus is saying spiritual things and Nicodemus doesn't understand it. Jesus did the same thing to the woman at the well. "Ma'am, you need living water. And if you knew who I am, you knew who the one who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked, and he would have given you living water." What does she say? "You don't have a bucket. Go call your husband." "I have no husband." You see, there's no ability to hear. There's no ability to believe. And Jesus is showing us through these people that unless life is planted there, they won't believe. That's what he was doing for Nicodemus and the woman at the well. And so after showing us all their deadness, all of a sudden we see a major shift in these people. The woman at the well is running around telling everyone about him. She heard him. And all of a sudden these people want to go and to tell others they believe and they heard because life had been given to them. The whole point of the parable of the sower was to have people examine whether they have the ability to hear. Hearing and believing go hand in hand. Jesus said in Luke, "Therefore take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him." Do you think it's coincidental that by the time we get to John 6, his teaching was so beyond them that from that time on, many left and could no longer handle it? They said, "Who can understand him?" Jesus was speaking spiritually and they're dead. I've said before, if you want to know whether there's life in you, dear listener, what do you think about church? That's a really searching question. If you want to know if there's life in you, let's go further. What do you think about the preaching of the gospel? How important is sitting under a man who preaches and expounds to you the word of God? Those who have life flock to it. Those who don't, just want to be entertained. They don't really care if they're there. It's just a social kind of thing. The word searches us. It confronts us. And there's no life when people find the word of God boring. Now think about what Jesus is saying again. I'm going back to 5:24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. You see it with the man of Bethesda here in chapter 5, who was healed. The Jews wouldn't see it. The Jews are hating what they're hearing. You see what Jesus is describing here. He is describing that he has come to give life and life more abundantly to people, to seek and to save that which is lost. If you have life planted in you, you thirst for it. You are a blessed person, dear listener. Christ is saying that he promises to fill you. Now, here's the beauty. The moment life is given, this is what I love about John 5. This is so exciting today. I can barely contain myself. The moment this life is given, you know what Jesus just says here? Judgment's over. Listen to what he says. Whoever believes and hears the word has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Once this life is planted in you, it shows itself in love for the word, to hear the word, to drink Christ, to be filled with Christ. Jesus just said, judgment's over for you. Judgment can never happen for you. Can you imagine if Christians lived with this kind of peace and confidence? As you already have passed, he says, from death to life. Colossians 1 says that. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son in love. You'll never be judged for your sins. That's what he just said. Whoever has life will not face judgment. What an encouragement, isn't it? When life is given, the hunger that takes over in your soul is a hunger for the word and Jesus. And you see this all throughout the scriptures of people coming and wanting his word. So what he describes in verse 24 is how life begins. It's the very same truth with Nicodemus. And when someone is given life, there's a love for the word. Too many Christians think today that the extent of the gospel is when they first believe. That's how far it goes. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. In verses 25 and 26, he describes what this life looks like in the present, and then how it abundantly fills life in the present and in the now and in the future. What does it look like? Listen to verse 25. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Wonderful verse. I'm moved by it. Notice what he said. The hour is coming. Jesus said it's not just going to come. He says the hour is coming and now is. It's already here. Do you know what's going to happen in this hour that's now here? Says Jesus. The dead will hear the Son's voice and live. Now, he's not talking yet about the final resurrection. He's not talking about the resurrection of our bodies on the last day. That has not happened now. Here's what he's saying. He's describing what Revelation 20 describes. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. What is the first resurrection? There's two resurrections, dear listener. This is Ephesians 2. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, he made alive. I love what he's describing here. The hour is coming and the Son of God is speaking. And do you know what's happening? Life. But that life is being given right now, says Jesus. Right now, as you are listening on the radio, dear listener, you could be hearing this and life through this message could be given to you by Jesus. What does that mean? It means souls are being raised. Right now, the Son of God, with his powerful word, is sending out that word to the ends of the earth, and it's penetrating into hard hearts, like mine and like yours. And it's bringing about life. I'm not talking about breathing. I'm not talking about breathing. I'm talking about spiritual life. I'm not sure we've ever really grasped the gospel and what Christ does for people. Too many Christians really are living a sad, miserable life, aren't they? They're just miserable. They're empty. Life is hard. Things never seem to go well. Everyone's against them. No one cares about them, they think. And it seems unbearable. And they just come to regard the here and now as a big conflict that they will overcome when they finally get to go and be with Jesus. So they live the life kind of depressed. And if there's no joy or victory in the present, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, right now, my voice is breaking into hearts and my life is filling the souls of people and they are living. I mean, they're really living. What is that? That's not a denial of suffering or pain or trial. I know you all who are listening go through those things. Do you know all the apostles were taken by John 5's description of the abundant life now? Not the best life now, not that message. That's in the resurrection. I'm talking about the abundant life of Christ's life filling us. You say, I want to know what that is. Let me describe it in the way that the apostles described it. John himself, the apostle John, was so moved by the teachings of Jesus. You know, in his little epistle, he mentions life 13 times. If the Christian is given life today so that he has no more judgment and he can have that security and peace, what does it look like? How do you know you have it? That's 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life. You ready? Because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You ever met people who hate the church, who stay away from the church? They may say they're Christians, but they want nothing to do with God's people. They say, oh, they're a bunch of hypocrites. And you ever met people who hate to and refuse to forgive? What kind of people are those people in reality? They're miserable. Because that lack of love screams of a rot of bitterness in the heart that is devoid of the life of freedom that Jesus gives. And that is what makes this life, this eternal life, this principle of life in the heart so real and powerful. Because when someone is able to actually love their enemies, that can only be explained by the supernatural work of the one who has planted life in the heart to make that love possible. Only the Lord can do that. The happiest people are those who can love this way. And they can only love this way because life is in them. That's all over the epistles, the description of what this life is. Remember what Colossians 3 said? Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Think of what Christ said. There's an hour coming when the dead will hear and live. Set your minds on things above. Why? Then he says this, for you died. That's everything I'm trying to teach you today on Abounding Grace. You died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death the members which are on the earth. So, there is this abundant life that we get in the present. The life that I live, I no longer live for myself, but I live, the life I live is Christ who lives in me. And when he appears, I'm going to be with him. But for the present, this life is bursting out of me. And that's what I love, what he's describing here. Let me put this together today on Abounding Grace. Jesus says, when I give life to someone, here's the evidence of it. They hear the word of God. They hunger for the word. They want the word. They want to hear that word because that's my word. And then what follows is an abundant, happy, joy-filled life of loving one another, rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then serving one another and putting to death the old, sick, sinful patterns that make you miserable in this life. That's your now thrust. That's your direction. That's your bent. This doesn't mean that we don't struggle anymore. No, no, no. We face affliction and we suffer. This doesn't mean that we don't face periods of dullness. This doesn't mean that we don't sin. But it does mean that this abundant life becomes characteristic of the Christian. This is what happens as his life fills us. We follow him. We delight ourselves in Christ. Now, don't forget who he's saying this to. It's important that we understand the context. He's saying this to a bunch of his own people, the Jews, who are enraged that he has broken their Sabbath. And now he's claiming not only to see God, not only to do all his works, but that he has the same kind of authority and ability to grant life in full equality with God himself. Well, that's the greatest thing that God could have ever announced to us. And Jesus says something that I think is one of the most serious things he says in the Gospels at this point. I look at this scene. The Jews are rejecting him. I'm grieved because so many aren't ready. So many today aren't hearing. So many are not filled. And they know nothing of the life that I've just described. So think about what Jesus now says. He is drawing all of this out, the issue now of whether we have this life, whether we've come to him for life. Here's what he says in verse 38. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I think that's one of the worst tragedies I read about in the Bible. Any moment, these people could drop dead. And Jesus says something that we all have to reckon with. The best life to come is for those who have the abundant life now. But for those who do not, for those who refuse Jesus Christ, for those who refuse his life, for those who hate their lives to be challenged, that they need to be saved, that they need Jesus, and must bow the knee to him, there is something awful coming. Listen to what Jesus now says here in John's gospel. And I think it's so important that we think about what he is saying in John 5 after all this mention of life. He says, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who've done good to the resurrection of life, and those who've done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. In 2 Thessalonians 1, we read that Christ will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among those who believe. The scriptures talk about a final judgment to come. And Jesus here is speaking of the resurrection, speaking of the reality that there is a final resurrection coming. All of those found in Jesus, whose lives here are characterized as being good, his people, they're justified. They've been given life. Their lives have been filled with the abundant life. They've already passed from death to life. And that means that when they die, when Jesus comes again, he will take their bodies, raise them up, brand new, to be reunited with their souls to always be with the Lord. But those who don't believe, there's also going to be a resurrection of their bodies to condemnation, to go to a place called hell. I can't change Christ's words. I can't change what he said. What I can do is plead with everyone who hears today. I plead with you to come to Jesus. And if you have come and you believe in him and you love him, know that he's paid for all of your sins and that he's given you life And on that day, he will resurrect your bodies, and you will go to be with him forever in a place where there's no more sin, sorrow, or death. Oh, come to Jesus, the author and giver of eternal life. Abounding Grace Radio, as always, we're thankful that you tune into Abounding Grace. We direct you to the website at agradio.org. agradio.org is that website. Thanks for taking time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace. May this gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you. The Escondido United Reformed Church is a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor here at the Escondido United Reformed Church. We're thankful to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you and would like to invite you to our Sunday morning worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. every Sunday. Visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. 1864 North Broadway is the address. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio.